That there you go. Please, in a little bit, we'll be singing song number 577, Do You Know My Jesus? So, have that ready if you happen to have a songbook or can't follow along on the live stream for whatever reason. All right. One of the phrases that I have picked up on in our daily reading that my wife and I do every night is the phrase your truth. And in our society, that phrase is used quite often to ask someone, tell me your truth. What is your truth? And I really don't like that phrase. Maybe one could say, "Tell me your perspective," or tell me what you think." But maybe that would probably be a better way of presenting that. Because saying the phrase "your truth" suggests that truth is subjective and that there is no such thing as objective truth. And we as Christians know that that is not true. That there is an objective truth that we need to care about deeply. In fact, one of the times that we see that is in a verse that is, well, should be very familiar to us, and that is John 17 and verse 17. And of course, that says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so we understand that God's word is truth, and it is your truth. It is not your truth or my truth. It is His truth. And really, it's the only truth we need to care about. The truth that is the gospel that is God's word. Now, in my readings, I want to draw out a couple verses or a couple verses that use this particular phrase so that we can have an idea of what we should do with your truth, with the truth that belongs to God. First off, this phrase is used 17 times in Scripture. I already read one of those verses to you, and that was John 17:17. But the first time I find it used, at least in the New King James Version, is in Psalm 25 and verse 5. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn there real quick. Psalm 25 and verse 5. In that particular passage, it says, well, I'm going to back up to verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. The next time we see it used is in 26 and verse 3. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Now, in that passage, in verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked." The next time it's used is in Psalm 30 and verse 9. I'll go up to verse 8. "I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When will I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper." So we learn a couple things from these first few passages that use the phrase your truth. First off, we learn that we need to be led into his truth. We need to be taught by his truth. Only in his truth is the way of salvation. We need to be shown it. We need to be taught it. In the next passage, we see that in Psalm 26, that we are to walk in his truth, that we are to be examined by the Lord, to be proven by the Lord, that we are to be tried. And we note that his loving kindness, his mercy, another way of putting that, is before my eyes, is before us. We can see it. And as a result, or at some point anyway, we have walked in his truth. We're not worried about the evil ways, the wicked ways, the ways of idolatrous men. We only want to walk in the way of God. In Psalm 30, we see that David is lamenting the possibility of his judgment and his death. And he says, what profit is there in my blood? What point is there of my being destroyed? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? So another thing that we need to do, we need to be led into his truth. We need to walk in his truth. And then finally, we need to declare his truth. To be led, to be taught. That's what we do when we come to worship. That's what we do when we under when we take advantage of these live streams. We are taught and learn more about his truth, about God's word. Not only that, but we've got to walk in his truth. We have to take what he has taught us and put it into practice. That's what it means to walk in his truth. Let us walk in his truth. Do as he told us to do. Do as he has said. And finally, will it declare your truth? So not only do we need to learn his truth, do his truth, walk in his ways, but also declare it. Teach others about his truth. We shouldn't just keep it to ourselves. And we do that through evangelism, teaching others about the truth of God. Remember, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, right? Whose truth are we talking about? Are we talking about a subjective truth? Or are we talking about the one objective truth that matters? This evening, I challenge you, I encourage you to remember what we need to do with his truth. We need to be led. We need to be taught in his truth. We need to walk in his truth, and we need to declare it. Will you declare his truth to somebody this week? I encourage you to do so, because that's one of the reasons why we're here, is to declare the truth of God to whomever will listen. What is that truth of God? Well, we read that in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we understand that that word is the word of God, the scriptures that we have right here. So we need to declare what those scriptures say. And what do those scriptures say on how to be saved? Well, first it tells of a savior. It tells of Jesus Christ who has come to this earth to save us from our sins. And man, that's a magnificent thing. We need salvation. We are all sinners. We've all fallen short. And we need a savior. And that savior is Jesus. And he came and he died for us. And the proof of what he has told us is in the resurrection. He rose from the dead 3 days later so that he could go on and that he could be glorified in heaven and prove to us that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We've got to believe that gospel, believe that he has died for us, that we can be saved. We need to repent of our sins, and that's involved in this. We need to walk in his truth, and we need to repent. And repentance, when we repent, we will be walking in his truth. We need to confess his name. Isn't that part of declaring his truth? Why, indeed it is. And then finally, we need to be baptized into Christ. You know, there isn't a form of baptism that we see in the Old Testament. You know, there's some cleansing rituals, but it's not the same thing, not even close to what we see in the New Testament in reference to baptism. And so in baptism, we are joined to Christ. The Lord adds us to his church. Our sins are washed away, are forgiven. And I thank God for that. If you want to make things right, if you want to obey the gospel today, obey his truth. I encourage you to do that now. Now, I know that it's difficult for us to go ahead and be baptized in this circumstance, but let us know. In just a few moments, the instructions will be on the screen to let you know how you can respond to that invitation. Let us know. My phone's not working right now, so don't text me. But you can text Sam or send a message to the Facebook group or comment here and let us know. If you need to respond to the invitation, please do so. And that includes those who are already Christians and need to repent and need to again walk in his truth. If you have a need, please let us know this in just a moment, or when we as we sing this particular song.